The University of Wisconsin system faces a potential $300 million cut in the next state budget in exchange for a greater degree of autonomy in how it conducts its business. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In this hour, we will get the perspectives of four different guests, a series of educators. Plus, we will welcome in at the end of the hour Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And we will hear how these proposed budget cuts could impact UW system campuses and programs, and we will welcome your questions and your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So we want to know if you are particularly worried about the proposed $300 million cut. Do you think it should be smaller or not? We'd like to know what changes you might like to see in how the UW system is funded or managed, or how you fear this proposal might affect you. Let me welcome our guests. Our first guest is Jim Schmidt, the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, which is offering faculty and staff buyouts to help deal with the expected budget cuts. Good morning.
Good morning.
So tell us about the cuts that are expected to hit UW-Eau Claire in this budget.
Well, first of all, we, of course, don't know the actual size of the cuts. We simply have the governor's recommendation. We do have a projection from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, which suggests our share of the cut would be about $7.6 million. But I think everyone in the system has been working hard to work with legislators to try to reduce the size of the cuts. I think most of the people we've spoken to on both sides of the aisle have suggested the cuts are really too big, and frankly, they're coming too fast. If I have a $7.6 million reduction in my general operations budget, on top of still completing reductions from the last round of cuts, as well as some other issues of about $4.5 million, my institution is looking to reduce our general fund operation budget by over $12 million by July 1. Now, I would hope that we might be able to cut the size of that cut in half, but regardless, it's really such a big cut. I have to have proper stewardship of this wonderful university and make sure that we do it in a thoughtful, strategic fashion, which is why we've tried to go out with this notion of can we provide an incentive to have some of our employees leave as a thoughtful, strategic way to reduce our costs.
Yeah, you are offering about 325, I guess for lack of a better word, buyouts. You're offering incentives to what, retire?
Yeah, and the final letters went out yesterday. It was 324. To be clear, we couldn't afford to operate the university with 324 fewer people. The program that I've introduced is something I'd worked with in Minnesota for a number of years. I spent most of my higher education career in Minnesota. Based on the kind of response that we'd had in Minnesota, about a quarter to a third of the people that we offer this to will actually apply. After people apply to say, yeah, I think I'd like that, my senior leadership team will take a look at all of the offers from employees. We'll take a look at data that we're collecting from four rapid action task forces. We'll take a look at data from each of our divisions that says how they would handle a 10, 15, or 20% cut. And we'll take a look at those that have said, yeah, I'd like to leave the institution, and we will start to craft a comprehensive package to ensure that the reductions we make do the least amount of damage to the institution and, most importantly, keep excellence and the service of our students at the center of all we do. So what I've said to my faculty and staff, given we will have fewer resources, we'll have fewer people, we must stay true to the mission of the institution, do everything with excellence, which means I'm not going to do cross-the-board cuts. I'm not going to nibble around the edges. We're simply going to stop doing some things so we can ensure the things that are left here, which will be, you know, the vast majority of everything, will be done at top possible quality.
Yeah. So of these 324 employees, faculty and staff, are these potential cuts hitting any particular departments or programs harder than others?
You know, if the cut were to actually be approved the way it was proposed by the governor, it would hit nearly every aspect of the institution. What I mean by that, it would certainly hit the classroom. It would hit the support services of the institution, hit our maintenance budgets, and other things. But nearly 90% of my budget is people. So what it really boils down to is we'd have fewer people here. We want to think about where can we do the trimming. My top priority is protecting the classroom to the extent possible, making sure that experience in the classroom is top-notch. Secondly, that we have the support systems to make faculty more successful and students more successful. I've given our campus four strategic indicators that will help us know if we've done this well. I say 100, 90, 50, and 20. I want to ensure that 100% of our students participate in at least one of our high-impact practices. Right now, more than three-quarters of the students who graduated last year did, and I want to drive that up to 100. So I'm still working for improvements while we're cutting. My goals for the institution haven't changed, even though my budget has. The high-impact practices include study abroad for a semester, internships, undergraduate research. We're among the top in the country for institutions that do that. The 90% figure is I want to increase our student retention rate from the freshman to sophomore year up to 90%. Mm-hmm. So I need to make sure that we're still funding those programs and making sure we have course availability so that students can be retained. The 50% number is I want to increase the percentage of our students who graduate in 4 years up to 50%. And finally, I want to continue to diversify the campus and increase the number of students of color in our campus from about 8% to 20%, and more importantly, close the achievement gap. So even while we're cutting, even while we're changing, I want to make sure we change to the kind of institution we want to be. We have a long, rich history of excellence at the institution. And so we're taking a very different look at this budget cut. Typically, you just say quality has to suffer. I've started by rejecting that notion and saying, okay, how can we do this differently? And that's what's driving us.
And clarify why you are doing this now when lawmakers are still wrangling with this proposal and the state budget. The budget hasn't passed yet. Do you have to offer these incentives now?
Well, and to be clear, there's no firm offer out to anyone. It's inviting people to apply.
Okay.
So all we're trying to do is get people to raise their hand and say, you know what, if you provide me with a one-time payment of half of my base salary, I would be interested in, you know, early retirement or leaving the institution. We're just trying to find out strategically where are those people on campus. Frankly, it's a very cost-effective process. Businesses have done this for decades. It allows us to make sure that we make the right decisions. It's not across the board. Not everybody who meets the criteria will be invited to apply. We'll say, I think we could downsize. Oh, we'll pick on political science. A lot of people do. We have seven professors in the political science department that are over age 55 that have at least 5 years of service and are eligible for Wisconsin retirement. We sent a letter to all seven. Frankly, we can probably only afford to lose two. So if all seven apply, I'm still only likely to accept two. So we will do it in a very strategic way. The cost of the alternative, which would be layoffs, is very time-consuming. Yeah. There are grievance processes. And nearly every one of my employees has at least a one-year contract. Tenured faculty, of course, are very different, and there's no real way to lay them off without declaring financial emergency.
We have, I'm sorry, Chancellor
okay.
Schmidt, we have just a minute left with you before our news. Give me your reaction to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss saying last week that he would favor a smaller cut to the UW system and perhaps less autonomy or independence.
Well, you know, I'm certainly grateful to hear that the speaker is looking to decrease the size of the cut. I felt very good about the bipartisan support for reducing that. I think it's unfortunate that we want to reduce the autonomy, more to the point, the flexibilities. I have, every day I wake up, I try to figure out how I can spend every precious last taxpayer dollar and student, parent, or donor dollar on the core of my mission. Currently, Wisconsin's systems are pretty bureaucratic, and I would think it's in everybody's interest that I take every last dollar to spend it towards the quality of the educational experience, not in completing 43 state-mandated reports that I'm not sure that are really looked at or provide much service. They're very costly to prepare, and that's just one of the items in the accountability basket I'd like to adjust.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Jim Schmidt is the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. We will, after the news, hear from a professor who is concerned about how these cuts are going to affect programs and courses in the humanities. After the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with different guests this hour about the proposed $300 million in cuts to the UW system in the proposed state budget. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We just heard from the Chancellor of UW Eau Claire about how his campus is preparing for the potential budget cuts. Coming up, we will hear from a former dean of a two-year UW campus who's now with a public authority college in Michigan. And later in the hour, we will hear from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who says he would favor now a smaller budget cut for the UW system and less autonomy for the system, especially if the UW Board of Regents isn't going to eliminate shared governance or faculty tenure. So we'll hear from Speaker Voss at the end of the hour. Right now, we are happy to get the perspective of Kelly Wills, who is an assistant professor of communication arts and theater arts at UW-Marshfield Wood County. She was going to teach during the 2015-16 school year in the Women and Gender Studies program at UW-Stevens Point, but funding for her position has been suspended. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Joanne.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So, you wrote about this this cut in a Facebook post that went viral, and that's where I noticed it. You are worried that subjects like gender studies or other subjects in the humanities are going to be the first to go. Why do you assume that?
Basically, I worry about that just because of my own personal experience, and I do want to make clear that I'm speaking on behalf of my own personal experience and as a private citizen and not as a representative of UW-Stevens Point or the Women's and Gender Studies program there, but I do feel as though the real push for the professionalization in higher education towards jobs or courses that translate into jobs is a reality, and I see that happening across the UW system there. And so I fear that the courses that in the humanities department will be the first to be on the chopping block there. And I do worry about that because those courses are so important.
Yeah. So are you the only faculty member essentially losing your class?
So basically what happened was funding was cut for academic staff to teach the introductory course next year. And so since I have, I do have a tenured job at UW-Marshfield Wood County, even though I teach one section at UWSP, there's no longer any funding to hire academic staff to teach that one introductory course. And so hopefully they'll be able to find tenured faculty at UWSP to teach the course, and that will be able to be offered to students. And I guess, again, I want to make sure that this isn't about me. This is about other people that are losing their jobs. And I think it's really important, and I'm glad that, you know, as Wisconsin Public Radio and other outlets have reported, chancellors across the UW system have gone on record stating that proposed cuts to the university system will result in layoffs and the elimination of some academic majors and minors, directly affecting students and their ability to graduate on time. I think that's what worries me as well.
Yeah. But clarify for us, Kelly, at this point, there still will be a women and gender study program at UW-Stevens Point, but they will have to find other faculty to replace someone like you?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. But you are upset on behalf of adjunct faculty who, like you, might be at least losing a specific course.
Right. And the real impact is, again, to the students. And the reason that these cuts are being made now is because staffing decisions must be made in advance of the proposed legislation, and campuses are forced to plan on how the full amount of the budget cuts will impact the campuses even before the full scope of the cuts is known. And this really hurts students because they have to register for the fall semester courses and puts each university in an impossible position where they're essentially making cuts based on the worst-case scenario, even when the cut might be smaller. No one wants to make these cuts, but the amount these campuses are looking at is just so potentially devastating that there aren't easy answers. And so the course I taught fulfilled two critical degree requirements. The budget to hire the academic staff for that class was cut, so there is a chance that it will not be taught next year unless it can be refilled with a full-time faculty. And yes, there are other students, other choices that students can take. But my overall concern is that students will have fewer choices to select from, since, as the chancellor said publicly, programs will be cut, so students' ability to get those classes that they need will be harmed. I'm worried about, I'm not worried about myself. I teach at UW Marshall, Edward County. I love my job there. I'll be fine. I'm worried about our students. There are more than 9,000 undergraduates at UWSP. Almost half of them are in their first year at their family to attend college. The longer they have to wait to get classes they need, the more they have to pay, and the longer it takes them to get into the workforce. And then studies confirm what I'm saying. The inability to get required classes is a prime driver of time to degree across the country. This is a really bad way to grow our economy.
Yeah, and I know you have to get off to class, but let me have you conclude by responding to Charles on Facebook, who says, certainly the humanities benefit individuals, but also when applied liberally, multicultural, multifaceted education is sociologically advantageous for communities. Absent a sound orientation to the humanities, our society will be less human.
I completely agree. And again, the Global Achievement Gap interviewed CEOs and leaders in the public and military sectors to ask what bosses were looking for employees. And not surprisingly, they wanted character traits like creativity and autonomy and critical thinking skills. One of the big ones was the ability to work across diverse groups. Most corporations are international these days. People need diversity training if they're going to succeed in the modern world. Courses in humanities departments and elsewhere are where people learn those skills. In addition, from my personal experience, the students who have taken these courses because of those critical thinking skills, by and large, do better in all of the other courses I teach because they have those tools.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Kelly Wills, Assistant Professor of Communication Arts and Theater Arts at UW-Marshfield, Wood County. She was going to teach in the coming school year in the Women and Gender Studies program at UW-Stevens Point, but due to the proposed budget cuts to the UW system, her position has been cut. We are talking with guests from different perspectives about the proposed $300 million in cuts that are in the proposed state budget for the UW system, and we are welcoming any questions or thoughts you may have at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's welcome in our next guest in our round table of guests. We are happy to have with us another guest who is formerly with the UW Baraboo and Sauk County. Tom Plager is president now of Lake Superior State University in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, former campus executive officer and dean of the UW Baraboo Sauk County. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, thanks very much for being with us. We thought that you offered a unique perspective in that you were with one of the two-year campuses on the UW system. Now you are with a university in Michigan that is a public authority like a college, Tom?
Sure. Well, the universities in Michigan, there are 15 public universities, and they are autonomous from one another and semi-autonomous from the state. So we receive our funding from the state, and we are evaluated in terms of performance funding each year on an annual cycle. But we have tremendous flexibility and freedom to operate independently in terms of decide what courses we offer, our budget, our curriculum. And so it's a very different model from Wisconsin. My experience in Wisconsin, I started at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, worked at Madison, the University of Wisconsin-Fox Valley. There's a great benefit to a system in terms of collaborating and sharing resources, but there is also a great deal of bureaucracy in terms of trying to accomplish new degrees and new programming.
Yeah. Well, I know you've been watching what's going on with the proposed state budget in Wisconsin and what that might mean for the UW system. Your general observations, what do you think that this is going to overall be a good thing, a bad thing, or somewhere in between?
Well, I think a bad thing. I started in administration in 2001, and almost every year from that point on, I had to deal with some form of budget reduction, either at the institution level, the campus level, or at the UW system level. And up until this point, I think administrators have done an outstanding job of tightening their belts and minimizing the impact to students. But we're now at a point, at least from my experience of 20-plus years in the system, that the types of reductions that are being proposed will harm programming, creativity, discovery at the universities, and will force some very difficult questions in terms of what is the mission of the University of Wisconsin system, what is its public good, what programs should we invest in or should the state invest in, and what programs might be eliminated. And it's unfortunate because from the perspective of another state, Wisconsin is held up as one of the best university systems in the country. And now in the circles of higher education, people are looking at Wisconsin and really seeing a backward movement. And I think it's going to have an impact on recruiting, on future students, and the reputation of Wisconsin in relationship to its university nationwide and internationally.
Well, we will be, after the news, welcoming in Republican State Representative Robin Voss, the Assembly Speaker, who, in an interview last week, said that he was now favoring smaller cuts to the UW system, maybe not as large as $300 million, but he also said less autonomy. He apparently was concerned that the UW Board of Regents stated its commitment to shared governance and faculty tenure, and Speaker Voss said, well, if the UW Board of Regents won't use this opportunity to eliminate that, maybe they don't need that that autonomy at all. What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, any reduction in the cuts is a good thing. I think any cut is going to have a significant impact. If it's $100 million, $200 million, those are just huge numbers in terms of reduction. I think the shared governance is extremely important. Wisconsin is unique in having a shared governance system in state statute. At Lakes Pierre State University, we're trying to implement a shared governance system modeled after Wisconsin. It's a unionized environment, and when I was brought in, I was asked to create a shared governance to be inclusive in decision-making, and we're modeling it somewhat after Wisconsin's, and it's ironic that that's potentially being dismantled. So I would have concern about that as a faculty member, as an administrator. And in terms of the autonomy, I think the greatest challenges that I felt as an administrator and a faculty within the Wisconsin system was the bureaucracy at the system level, not at the state level. And if you look at the system cabinet, it's grown in the last biennium. And I think there perhaps are opportunities to look at administrative savings at the system level and perhaps greater autonomy at the campus level in relationship to system administration.
Let's. We have some calls. Mark in Mineral Point has been waiting. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, good morning. I'm glad you're having a show on this topic, especially with the joint finance hearings coming up. I think that the main point that a lot of us are trying to make is that the public authority flexibility proposal, that component of the proposal, is a fraud. And it's a fraud for a couple of reasons. It's, for one thing, it's going to decrease the quality of the education that the students are getting, because it's going to allow an increased race to the bottom in terms of everything from class size to qualifications of instructors, and you can go to teaching load, a variety of things. But the other problem is that this shifting of power, unaccountable power, to administrators is going to also put an increased burden on the taxpayers and the students with their tuition increases and their time to graduation, everything else, because the administrators are always looking for ways, and I've seen this firsthand in budget meetings, they're always looking for ways to increase fees on the students and at the same time that they're cheating them on the quality of the education.
What's your response to that, Tom Player?
I think it's very hard to say in this particular proposal because, as far as I can tell, I haven't seen any details. What does the public authority look like? There's quite a bit of variation of how these things are structured. Michigan's model is one of the most independent. I have not seen any details to know what exactly the relationship of the public authority to the state will be in terms of its organization, in terms of its impact and shared governance and tenure. So it's hard to predict. I think what would be a better dialogue would be to have the details worked out up front and have a public debate, since it impacts the entire state of Wisconsin and beyond, to learn what's being proposed and then see what kind of reaction you get in terms of the students, in terms of the faculty and staff, and the taxpayers and the citizens as to what we're proposing or what's being proposed. But at this point, I haven't seen that.
Mark mentioned that the Joint Finance Committee is starting a series of public hearings. Tomorrow is the first one in Brilliant, Wisconsin. Let's say you are testifying before that, Tom Plager, and we have just 2 minutes before our newscast. What would you tell the Joint Finance Committee when it comes specifically to the proposed cuts to the UW system and the proposed autonomy?
Well, I would say Wisconsin is fortunate to have an amazing university system. It attracts talent from all over the world and produces outstanding graduates. I think the tension that's occurring in a public venue and in articles and the world is following this, it's certainly the world of higher ed, has great potential to harm the state. I've already had parents contact me from Michigan who are thinking about sending their son or daughter to Wisconsin and ask me, what do you think's happening in Wisconsin? Is it a good place to go to school? I also can tell you we're recruiting faculty and staff out of the Wisconsin system at our institution and other institutions in Michigan. Michigan's reinvesting in higher ed. I think that's the right direction, and we're doing things to attract students. Eliminating out-of-state tuition is one example. Wisconsin could do similar things to build up its enrollment to attract people from afar to deal with this budget problem in terms of new revenue, and I think that's an alternative that hasn't been looked at.
Yeah, and we, again, just have about 30 seconds. You would say hold off on this public authority or what?
I think there should be a public discussion, and there should be some type of blue ribbon commission or panel put together at the state level that should be studied. It's too dramatic of a change to slip into the budget with unknown details. It impacts so many people in so many areas, everything from 4-H to public radio, public television, to 13 two-year campuses, to 11 four-year campuses, to the two doctorals. It's a huge change, and I think it should be discussed and thought about rather than rushed through or done behind closed doors.
Thank you very much for being with us, Tom Plager, president of Lake Superior State University. We'll check news, and then we'll welcome in Speaker Voss. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are now wrapping up a roundtable of voices talking about the proposed $300 million cut in the next state budget for the UW system in exchange for a greater degree of autonomy. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We have heard from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire Chancellor. We have heard from a professor who is having her position cut. At UW-Stevens Point, we have heard from a former UW system dean executive who is now with Lake Superior State University in Michigan. Now it is our pleasure to welcome in Robin Voss, who is a Republican state representative from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you very much for joining us. I know in a Wisconsin Eye interview last week, you said that you thought that the proposed UW system cut of $300 million over the next 2 years was probably bigger than you might have suggested. Give us your thinking on that.
Well, that's exactly right. Since the governor first put out his budget, I have been one of those saying I think that the cut is too large. And as you probably already know, when I was a student, I was lucky enough to serve on the UW Board of Regents. So I have a deep love for the university. I know the great things that it does for our state. I recognize the fact that just like every bureaucracy, there are things that need to change, and there are old patterns that are very difficult to break, which is why over the course of the past 4 years, I have been one of the most consistent supporters of trying to give more autonomy, first to UW-Madison and now as Governor Walker has proposed, to the entire UW system. The reason that I wanted that autonomy to be there is to help them find ways to reduce their spending, to reduce waste and inefficiency without harming students. It's always frustrated me that when the Democrats made similar reductions in spending, they allowed tuition to go increase by pretty substantial amounts, and that's how we got those big surpluses that we asked the university to spend out. So over time, I have wanted to give them more authority. We did that last budget by allowing them to create positions outside of the normal process in state government because, once again, we've been trying to say if there are ways to save money, we will be happy to give you more ability to do that without impacting students. Now, I have to admit I have some doubts as to whether or not the current board and the system is really committed to making changes to save money as opposed to just kind of rearranging the deck chair. So
yeah.
That's my frustration.
Well, we'll talk some about that. You were concerned that the Board of Regents at its last meeting said that it was committed to, wanted to preserve faculty tenure and shared governance. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, as the chancellor mentioned in your first segment, the vast majority of the money that is spent in the university is spent on salaries, which, of course, benefits students in one way or another. So as we look to say, how are we going to re-engineer and reinvigorate the university, it's a combination of figuring out how to do more with less and how to get the people who are currently working in your system more efficient and more focused. It's why we asked and we have been working with the university on a workload study where we see that in some campuses the workload is significantly below what the university should set as a standard just for a basic number of hours that students are being taught. To their credit, they are working with us to have systems where individuals will now have to either show that they've gotten a grant or have an approval for a buyout as opposed to just saying, I'm going to be on the faculty senate and I want to not teach as many classes. So I think that sometimes the shared governance model, which your last guest pointed out, is unique to Wisconsin, doesn't necessarily help us to be innovative. It really protects the status quo. And that's why if the university is going to change and adapt to less resources, they certainly have to leave everything on the table, which means a guaranteed job for life. We have put a request into the university to say how many tenured faculty have actually been eliminated in the past decade, because it's impossible for me to believe that everyone is doing what they need to. They haven't had a vigorous set of post-tenure review. Once you're given a job for life, who actually makes sure that you're still responsive to students? Who makes sure that you're still responsive to your academic field? There's really very little rigor. And the idea of shared governance and saying that, as an example, when you pick a chancellor, the majority of people on the search committee have to be faculty members, not academic staff, not students, but tenured faculty. Now, I understand why that would be in certain workplaces, but what workplace do the employees sit down and all decide who their boss is going to be without input from the customers or the other stakeholders? I mean, the system is really an anachronism in many ways. I am open to the idea of doing what it takes to make us competitive with other states, But I think just saying because we've always had it, we're always going to keep it, really isn't a model that works in an innovative institution like the UW system should be.
Yeah, Speaker Voss, your response to critics, like our last guest was concerned that this this public authority plan was still unclear exactly what it was going to be, and that it required much more than a state budget proposal, that there needed to be a lot more thought and debate over this. Your response to that?
I think that's a legitimate concern, and that's one of the things that I have talked about, to say perhaps we don't want to just grant all of this authority or autonomy without more study and more understanding of exactly what it will mean. If it's reducing the cost of purchasing, well, that's something that probably is, you know, easy for legislators on both sides of the aisle to get their arms around. But the idea of saying that we're going to trust the UW system to set their own tuition probably is something that a lot of people have fears with, because remember, the last time they were allowed to set tuition increases, they built up almost $1 billion surplus, a lot of it on the backs of students. So I don't necessarily know if most of my colleagues are at the point of trusting the UW system to set whatever tuition level they believe is best.
We have some callers who have questions. Will in Madison.
Hello, good morning. Speaker Voss, as one alum of the UW system to another, I really don't understand why you would deprive future students the opportunity to participate in shared governance in a way that you and I did. I would even go as far as to say you probably wouldn't be in the position that you're in without the experiences of being on the Board of Regents as a student and participating in shared governance if you did not have these opportunities that you are going to possibly deprive future students of. I don't understand why you're taking away the democracy of students, faculty, and staff. It seems to go against an incredible educational experience for this state, and as a taxpayer, I am outraged about this possibility of this deprivation.
All right, let's get Speaker Voss to respond to that.
Well, first of all, we would have no effect on the Board of Regents. There are two students who currently serve on the Board of Regents, and they would continue to be on the board. Secondly, students in the UW system, really, even though they are active in shared governance, and he's right, I was active in student government when I was a student, but we play an advisory role. We don't actually get to make the decisions. The chancellor and the faculty ultimately make the decisions. So it's not necessarily apples to apples. And once again, advisory, participatory, those are all things that occur in every workplace, and that's healthy, and that's exactly what should occur. But the idea of, you know, having the faculty senate make final decisions, I just don't think that that's the only way it should be. Once again, in every other state, that's not the way it works, and there are great universities all across the country in addition to our own.
Let's go to Adriana in Bayfield now. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I was recently accepted to the university system for law school, and I am concerned about these cuts because one of my big factors of deciding where I'm going to go is tuition, and I'm concerned that these cuts are going to affect tuition and also just affect the quality of the education I'm going to get over the next 3 years if I decide to go there. So I just wanted to get the speaker's comments on that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to work?
I think that's a valid concern that she should be aware of, but I will say we are lucky that we have a fantastic UW system, and even as we've been working with the administration to figure out ways to minimize the cuts, I think that it's not going to have a dramatic impact on the vast majority of students that are in the UW system. Now, one of the proposals is for master's level classes, law school, medical school, and out-of-state students is to look at tuition and make sure that it's competitive with our peer institutions around the country. So there's a possibility that we're going to see a higher tuition for people who are in specialty degrees and or those who are out-of-state. But they would never be uncompetitive, and they would also be done in a way that tries to minimize the impact to students while maximizing the ability to get a great education.
Randy in Kewaskum is with us. Hello, Randy.
Thank you for taking my call. One thing that needs to be done is there needs to be some kind of review process for tenured professors. It was about 6-7 years ago when my daughter was in college. She had a women's studies course. Was an online course with 8 campuses, professor from UW Waukesha. This class was absolute garbage. Half hour of taking attendance, about 20 minutes of lecture, which was all left-wing propaganda, and then the second half were things like the day I sat in on it, a propaganda film by the AFL-CIO. I talked to the kids there. They asked what they could do. I told them, write up your complaints and submit a copy to the university. They did. University said, well, thank you, but we can't do a thing about her because she has tenure.
Yeah, well, because we're very short on time, Speaker Voss, so should she have lost her job over that?
Well, those are the stories that we hear over and over. And, of course, we want to always preserve the ability to have academic freedom, but it doesn't mean that you have latitude to do whatever you choose without regard to the customers, the students that you're teaching. So, yes, we should have post-tenure review if we even keep tenure. I think that the idea of giving somebody a limited-term appointment, let's say it's 5 or 10 years, and at the end of 10 years, you still have to prove that you're relevant in your coursework, that you've done academic research, and that you have proven to students that you're of value. And once again, it doesn't matter if you're a business professor or women's studies. Each of those has value, but it has to be in the ultimate sphere of how much do we have for resources and what are students learning, not just what does someone want to teach.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go. What will you, Speaker Voss, be encouraging your legislative colleagues to do when it comes to the budget for the UW system?
Well, we've had a good long discussion in our caucus, and of course, our primary focus is trying to make sure that we get as much money into K-12 education as we can. That's always been our primary focus. But close behind that, for me, and I think for a lot of my colleagues, is to make sure that we continue to have a fantastic UW system. Will reductions have to be made? Yes. Should flexibilities be given to help deal with that cut? Yes, but only if we are able to figure out a way to minimize the impact of students without big tuition increases or a disruption in their ability to graduate. So in the end, I believe UW system will continue to be a fantastic institution. It'll have less resources, but hopefully not at the level Governor Walker proposed.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks.
Robin Voss is the Speaker of the State Assembly, a Republican state representative from Rochester. Thanks very much to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, to Kayla Blado, and to Cynthia Schuster for producing this hour and producing many of these programs. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. It's time for some information and advice on your money coming up after the news. I should also, in the spirit of full disclosure, let you know that I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension, and I, as is Wisconsin Public Radio, subject to any potential budget cuts to the UW system. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.